Would you join me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. For weeks and now months, we've been focusing on a theme word, kadima. Say that with me, kadima, which means forward. Forward, because we want to move forward. We're at a time where we have to be deliberate about it. And there are many forces that want to pull us down. They want to pull you back. But God wants us to go forward, and so we have to be intentional. And we set it in our hearts. We say to one another, kadima, 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 forward, keep going forward. And last week I was talking about breakthroughs that require consistency and single-mindedness, and we looked at some scriptures about double-mindedness and how they can rob you of progress, and they can keep double-mindedness can keep you from receiving what God wants to get into your life. And so what went together with that word single-mindedness is consistency. Now, this week, I want to continue in talking about breakthroughs, but I want to look at two other qualities that belong together, and the first one is persistence. Can you say that with me? Persistence, and the second one is boldness. Say that, boldness. Boldness and persistence. And we're going to look at a few scriptures in one in Luke chapter 11, another one in Matthew chapter 7 that speak about this. I actually want to start with Matthew chapter 7. This is the one that got my attention this week. And we're going to connect this with what we read in Torah this week. So turn to Matthew 7, verse 7. And while you're turning there, let me tell you this. If you ever hear me misquote the citation, the location of a scripture, you have permission to raise your hand, jump up, get my attention, and say what the right chapter and verse is. Sometimes when I'm making my notes, I'll make a little transcription error and I'll put it away. I don't turn to each one of these every time because it can take too long and it slows it down. So I'm reading from the scripture notes that I copy into my own notes, but last week someone caught me and they didn't tell me, and I think I'm gonna offer a $5 reward if anyone does that, because we want to catch it. We always want to be correct in it. So $5 if you jump up and you say it. Now, all you have to do is say, Rabbi, it's Matthew da-da-da-da-da if I'm wrong. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. So if you turn there, you can read with me. Ask and it will be given to you. Oh, that's worth repeating. Why don't you say it? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Can you say that? Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. You say that. That's good. Now, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. And then Yeshua goes on, he says, which of you, if his son would ask you for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he would ask you for a fish, would give him a snake? Verse 11, if you then, though you are evil, ouch, if you know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the Torah and the prophets. So it mentions three separate things here. These are not identical, they're different, and they're all part of the recipe for breakthroughs. Because in almost every case, when we need a breakthrough, we need to get something we don't have yet. Am I right? If you already have it, you don't need a breakthrough, you got the breakthrough. If you're looking for a job and you don't have a job, you need a job, right? If you're looking for healing and you don't have healing, you need still to get healed. And so breakthroughs are connected with receiving what we don't currently have. And these are three separate things that we're told to do. The first one is ask. The second is seek, and the third is knock. They're different things, believe me. Let's look at them very simply. When it says ask, Yeshua is saying you must verbalize your request. You must put it into words that are expressed out loud. Asking is something that requires verbalization. Now, if you are inclined to think your prayers or to say them inwardly and silently, and that's the only thing you do, then you will never get around to the verbalization that's necessary. You have to speak prayers too. There's a place for silent meditation and silent prayer, but there is a place for saying out loud what it is that you want. Ask. The second instruction is seek, which means to pursue, to go after, to put your energy and your effort into finding what it is that you're looking for. And then the third instruction is to knock. To knock. And when I think about knocking, and when Yeshua is talking about knocking here, what he has in mind is knocking at a door that's closed. And when the door is opened, then you will receive from the one who opens it the very thing that you need. So ask, seek, and knock. Now, this connects to a theme that we've been looking at for the last month, ma'at, ma'at. Can you say that with me? Ma'at, ma'at, which is Hebrew for little by little. And it speaks of some of the breakthroughs that God gives us that come gradually. They don't come all at once. They come step by step, a little built upon a little. It's not that the breakthrough in its entirety is small. It's that it comes in steps and in portions. Just the way we grow physically is little by little. Spiritually, we can grow little by little, and breakthroughs come little by little. Now, the Greek of this text in the New Covenant Scriptures is often translated simply as ask, seek, and knock. And yet, it's better to translate it with a few more words, because there's a nuance to what Yeshua is saying. He's saying, keep asking. Can you say that with me? Keep asking. Keep seeking. Let's hear you say that. Keep seeking. And keep knocking. That's good. How many of you have kids who know how to do this already? You have to keep at it. It's not just do it once. You have to keep asking. The Lord is saying, if you really trust him, you'll keep asking. If you really want and need that which you are praying for, you'll keep seeking. And if you really, really believe that God wants to give it to you, you're going to knock, and you're going to keep knocking until someone answers. This reminds me of something. Somebody was walking my neighborhood this week, and they were knocking on doors, you know. And I just don't want to waste my time with people who are doing that. I will never buy from them. I don't know about you. How many of you like to buy from strangers who knock on your doors? Like, I just sit around waiting for them to come. No. And so I decided I just wouldn't answer the door. My first line of defense. And you know what? He went away. And I thought, he didn't even ring the doorbell twice. He rang it once, he knocked, and he was gone. And I thought, well, that worked. But you know what? I decided if he knocked and rang some more, I was going to go answer the door. And I was going to tell him that I wasn't going to buy anything or give him anything or whatever, and he should be on his way. And then I decided I'm going to put up a sign on my sidewalk that says no solicitation so that I don't have to stand around waiting for someone to see whether they're going to knock twice or keep going. But Yeshua says we've got to have some kind of commitment. You've got to keep asking. You've got to keep seeking. You've got to keep knocking. And when you ask, what will happen? You will receive. And how are you going to receive? He says, it will be given to you. So it becomes like a gift to you. And he says, keep seeking, because then you will find what it is that you're seeking for. And keep knocking. Now, this is the interesting one in this threesome. Keep knocking, the door will be opened. That's interesting. The door will be opened. And that implies something. Even when the door is open, you've got to take another step. You've got to continue to follow up. Anybody in sales knows this. If the door is open, you still got to present what you're presenting. You've got to close the deal, right? If you don't close, you're going to go away empty-handed. Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened. So when the door is opened, you've got to go through it. You've got to be ready. All three parts are necessary. Now, let's look at a parallel to this. It's in Luke chapter 11. Sandy and I were reading this today and talking and praying about this passage. And the version in Luke chapter 11, verse 5, has some additional details to it. And it includes a little story that goes along with it. And we were trying to make sense of the story because it's got a little bit of a Middle Eastern quality to it, and maybe an ancient quality that's not so easy for Americans to get. But as I was going through the story a few times, I realized that the way Yeshua told the story, it's meant to create a little bit of anxiety in the people, a little bit of uncertainty and discomfort. So let's read it with that in mind and see if we can stir up some worry in ourselves, okay? So Yeshua says to them, Luke 11, 5, suppose one of you has a friend, and the friend goes to you at midnight. Okay, does that make you a little nervous? So imagine one of your friends coming to you at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine who is traveling on a journey has come to visit me, and I don't have anything to set before him. Okay, so maybe midnight's too early for you to be nervous. 3 a.m, does that work better? How many people feel good when the doorbell rings at 3 a.m? That's kind of anxious making, isn't it? Okay, so we'll just change it to make it a little bit more modern because we stay up a little later. But believe me, midnight is pretty late, you know, when you don't have electricity. Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Okay, so someone comes to your house, and they say, hey, Chris, I need some bread. Alberto, you've got some younger ones. Who's got Jocelyn. Jocelyn, a friend just came to my house. I don't have anything to give him. Can you give me 3 loaves of bread tonight so that I can feed him? Now you're thinking, wait a minute, what are you doing here at midnight? That's supposed to make us a little anxious. Well, you see, my friend came. He just got here. Now, you have to enter into the Middle Eastern mindset a little bit. What's unthinkable in that part of the world is that you wouldn't be hospitable to the visitor, right? Am I right? That it would be worse to not offer something to your guest who comes at midnight than it would be to go to a friend's house at midnight, wake him up, and say you need to borrow something to feed. You would rather bug your friend than you would not show hospitality. That's how important hospitality can be. Okay, so the one inside, the one who's at home and responds, says, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Okay, now that's supposed to make you nervous too. It's like, wait a minute. But the guy's knocking at midnight. You know, I don't even know where this story's going. So put yourself in the position of those hearing the story from Yeshua. So Yeshua just throws this out. So imagine you got a guest coming at midnight. You don't have anything to offer him. I don't have any food in the house. Oh, that makes me nervous. So I go to a friend at midnight. You got to give me some food to give to my friend. Well, that makes me nervous. Would that make you nervous? How many of you would just be comfortable leaving your house and going at midnight to another friend's house and seeing if you could get something to bring back to your house? Yeah, it's supposed to sort of like tear you up a little bit. It's like, I don't know where Yeshua is going with this, but it's not making me comfortable. And then Yeshua says, verse 8, let me tell you something. Even though that friend won't get up and give him bread because he is a friend, he will get up and give him what he needs because the man's bold. Because the man is bold. Because of the man's boldness. Because the guy is bold enough to come at midnight and knock and call out to him, he'll give him that. He'll, even though he doesn't want to, he'll give it to them. Now, in the Greek, this word for boldness can also mean persistence. And you could add another word. It's like shameless persistence. The guy has absolutely no shame, no sense of shame about bothering his friend at midnight. So Yeshua is telling this story, and I'm sure the people who are hearing it are thinking, where is this going? And then what Yeshua makes clear is this has to do with your relationship with God. And so he says in verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Keep seeking, and you'll find. You keep knocking, and the door will be open to you, for everyone who keeps asking does receive. And the one who keeps seeking finds, and the one who keeps knocking, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Boldness, persistence, as some manuscripts have it. You see, Yeshua is teaching us something. You've got to go to the Lord and ask. You have to go to the Lord and seek. We have to go to the Lord and we have to knock and we have to keep asking and keep seeking and we have to keep knocking. God says certain things to us. He puts certain things in our heart. There are certain things that we want, either for ourselves or for the sake of those we care about. And when God speaks it to our hearts, we still have to ask for it. This is one of the reasons some people don't get breakthroughs. They receive the desire, but they keep the desire to themselves. They want, but they don't ask. Yaakov James said that. Why don't you don't receive? Because you don't ask. You see, sometimes we have to ask, and we have to ask very concretely, because as my wife said, when we ask, we're affirming that the Lord put it in our heart and that he will do it, that we trust him and that which we're asking for is a good thing for us to receive. You see, asking is actually an expression of faith. And asking again and again, that's an affirmation of faith and trust. And when you ask again and again and you keep seeking and you hold on, you're saying to the Lord, I know you're good and you're going to do this thing. And I know you've told me that this is the way you want to work. You want me to keep asking until I get it. How many of you have learned in regular life that you have to ask more than once many times? How many of you know that's true? Because maybe you can explain it to the people sitting next to you who haven't learned yet, that you've got to ask, and you've got to ask again and again. Some things that God wants to give you are like that too. You've got to ask more than once. And when you ask, you're trusting. Now, when your children ask you again and again, you know what it means? It means they trust you to finally answer. What's a question a child likes to ask their parents? Why? That's a question for sure. Why? But when they want something, what's something your children have asked you for? candy. And probably they just ask once, right? Mom, I would like a piece of candy. And if you give it to me today, I will never, ever ask for another piece. Right? Now, they'll keep asking. What else do kids like to ask about? Toys. They want the toys. How many of you have kids that like to play certain things, certain games? Like to play football. Yeah. Some want an iPhone. Dad, give me an iPhone. Dad, I want an iPhone. You know what I want for my birthday, Dad? An iPhone 5. Don't get me the 4S. Right? How many of you have kids that want you to read to them? If you don't have kids that want you to read, you need to get some kids that like to read. And have you ever sung a song with a little kid? And after you sing it, they say, let's do it again. Let's sing it again. Itsy Bitsy Spider, the wheels on the bus, again and again. How is it that that same song over and over again can be interesting? You read a book to a child, you finish it, you're getting a little ready for bed yourself. The child says, read it to me again. Right? That was good. Read it to me again. Or they say, okay, read this next one. And you say, well, I read that to you last night. I know, I want to hear it again. Again and again and again. Children have this natural instinct to ask for what they want. And adults, even spiritual adults, often lose it. Life tends to beat it out of us. And Yeshua is saying, you got to hold on to that. That's part of being a child of God, is to keep asking, to keep seeking, and to keep knocking. So you ask again and again until the thing is done. That's what Yeshua is teaching us. Or until you change what you're asking for because your understanding or your spiritual insight changes, or it's been reshaped. Have you ever asked in prayer for something, and then down the road, you changed it a little bit because you understood that the way you asked the first time wasn't quite right? Maybe the answer you got was no. And then you asked, well, what should I be asking for? And something developed in you. You can start asking for one thing, and then it changes. And having fellowship with the Lord will cause some changes. When you're abiding with Him, you'll discover some things that you want to ask differently about. Now, there's another aspect to this, and that is we need to learn to ask and to seek with specificity. And I would compare it like going to a restaurant. Now, if you go to a restaurant and you sit down at a table and the waitress comes to you, what does the waitress want to know first of all? What do you want to drink, right? And then the waitress gives you the menu and all that. You look over the menu, and the waitress wants to know what you want to order, right? And so they want to take your order. Are you ready to order? Do you have any questions? And if you say, bring me something delicious, you probably won't get your order filled. Because waitresses and waiters are not trained to respond to that kind of generality. If you say, well, bring me what I want the most, they'll look at you like you're kind of odd. If you say, well, just bring me what's best, you probably won't make a happy waiter or waitress. In fact, when you order something, you've got to be specific. And you have to say what you want, and you even have to say what you don't want. How many of you are picky when you order at a restaurant these days? Not so many of you? What is with you guys? Yeah. I was splitting a burger with my wife the other night, and she likes things a little different from me. And so I decided I'd order it the way she likes it, and so I said, I'd like this hamburger medium rare. I like it that way. And no pickles, because Sandy hates pickles. I love them. no onion. I said, don't let a pickle or an onion even touch the plate. And so I said, bring me some ketchup and mayonnaise on the side. That's the way I want it. And you know what? That waitress did exactly what I wanted. Now, Sandy ordered a little fish sandwich, and she forgot to be as specific as I was. And so guess what? The fish sandwich comes, and there's a big pickle on it. And that's the moment when Sandy says, I can't eat that pickle. Can you take this back and give me all new lettuce because the pickle touched the lettuce? And the waitress said, I should have been paying attention. That was a well-trained waitress. Because I didn't think that the way you ordered the hamburger, speaking to me, should have told me something about the other sandwich too. So she took all the responsibility as the waitress. And you know what? Sandy got what she wanted. I got what I wanted. We split them and we both got what we wanted. We got to eat each other's food. That's a good thing. I was thinking about that experience and I was thinking how important it is in prayer to think like this. You got to ask for what you want. Not to just be general. Lord, give me a job. Give me that job. No, be specific. And it's important to ask about what you don't want. Now, I don't mean that God is your waiter, even though Yeshua said, I came like one who waits on tables. What I mean is we have to learn to be specific, and of course our asking has to be informed by our devotion to God and our fellowship with the Lord. If you're asking for stuff that you don't want, that you want, but you don't know if God wants it for you or anybody, then you haven't spent time enough with Him and His Word. But we have to be specific. We have to know when we're specific if we receive what we ask for. And that's important. You see, God has made the world this way, that you have to ask for the things He puts in your heart. You have to ask. You have to verbalize it, and you have to say to Him exactly what it is that you want. Now, when I was thinking about the Torah portion this week, where, among other things, because it's a big portion, the children of Israel build a golden calf. They make an idol of gold shaped as a calf, and they're worshiping it while Moses is up on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments from the Lord. Terrible timing. Moses comes down, and he sees what's going on, and he understands that the children of Israel have been torn. They're not single-minded about following the Lord. They're double-minded. One part of them is wanting their own plan B, idols. And the other part wants to be with the Lord. And even his brother Aaron, who's called to be high priest, isn't single-minded. Moses comes down, he's single-minded, and he sees what's going on, and he understands this is terrible. And he says it. He says, this is a terrible sin that you have committed. That's Exodus chapter 32, verse 30. Terrible sin you've committed. And then he says, so now I'm going to go to the Lord. And maybe I can make atonement for your sin. You see, he's going to go to the Lord. He's going to ask for something. What is he going to ask for? Do you know, it's basically two things. Forgiveness for the children of Israel, and for repentance, a new way of life for them. Because the two go together. Repentance is meant to be joined together with forgiveness. And Moses goes to the Lord and he says, these people, this is verse 31, these people have committed a great sin. They made for themselves a god of gold. And he's confessing that sin. And he says, now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you've written. You see, he's functioning as an intercessor as a sort. He's asking for the children of Israel to receive forgiveness, but they need more than that. They need help. They need to be changed. And Moses asks because he knows something. He knows the character of God. He knows the mercy and the love of God is strong towards Moses. It's strong towards Israel. And he knows one more thing, that the mercy and the love of God is strong towards sinners. And so he's bold and he's saying, Lord, forgive Israel, your people. Forgive them. and help them get straight. That's his petition. Help them get straight. And the Lord answers and says, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to pour out my presence. You, Moses, are going to experience my presence. I'm going to show you some things about me and how I'm compassionate. I'm going to visit with you. You can read about that in the Torah portion this week. And after that experience, Moses comes back down and he's a little bit different. And you know what? When he prays again, he says, Lord, we are sinners. It's not just them, it's us. We're stiff-necked. We need your mercy. We need your grace. You see, sometimes God will put you in a situation where you think you need one thing, and you do need it, but you don't realize you need something else from the Lord himself. In the difficulty of the situation you're in the processing and prayer through all of that, you'll discover something about God's character, his nature, his mercy, that will change you. Many times when we're asking, we're only asking for the thing that we clearly see, and yet God knows so much more. And he uses the need to change us in relationship to him and to one another. So when God puts you in a place of deficiency, it's got many purposes to bring you close to him, to teach you to trust him, and then to show you something about yourself together with other people. I read about the golden calf and I don't think, oh man, Israel was like this. You know what I think? We're like this. We're always looking for plan B just in case God doesn't show up on our terms. We're always looking that things would be the way we want, not according to his timing and his plans. That's the way we are. Let me tell you, that's your problem, folks. That's my problem. That's our problem. And we have to own it and say, you know what? We've all got this problem. And the only cure for it is to go into the presence of God with humility, to humble ourselves, to pray and to seek his face, and to look to him to give even what we're not asking for, to reshape us and our desires and all that we're expecting. And I tell you this, when you find yourself in such need and you humble yourself in such a way and you come into his presence, he will do something. Moses not only knew that God was present, he knew that God would listen and God would answer him. He was single-minded in this. I love the way Moses and Yeshua harmonize together and teach us something about what life is like. I want to pray for you who need breakthroughs. Anybody here need a breakthrough still? Anybody still need a breakthrough? Can you imagine if we came in one day and we didn't need any breakthroughs? It wouldn't be the world I know. We will continue to need breakthroughs and to move forward. And has anybody faced this question, should I just give up? Anybody? Anybody feel that pressure? Just give up? And when you're feeling that pressure, do you ever feel like just giving in? Well, the heck with it. I just give up, I give in. I tell you this, God wants us to be consistent, single-minded. He wants us to persist with boldness. If you have a desire that came from God, was birthed in God, and is pleasing to God, keep asking, keep seeking. Keep knocking. It doesn't make you an irritation to him. He wants you to do it. And he puts something in you this way. That's how he builds our character in part, by putting us in that situation. I want to pray for everyone who needs that kind of breakthrough that requires persistence and boldness. And I know some of you are saying, well, I'm just not that bold. And that's the whole point. It's not a matter of your personality. It's a matter of your trust in him. Little children learn to ask mommy and daddy for candy again and again just because they want it. You can be that bold. like a child. Lord, I thank you that you treat us and love us as a father loves children, only better. And that you want us not only to receive into our hearts desires, and you want us to not only recognize needs that we have, but you want us to verbalize those needs and desires by asking you. And you want us to go after the very things that you've put in front of us and to keep seeking you in those things that you're wanting to give. And you want us to keep knocking at your door until you open the door. And we want to keep knocking. I pray, Lord, for persistence and boldness in us. And then I pray for more breakthroughs. Lord, I pray for those who are looking for jobs and needing jobs now, that your persistence in them, your boldness in them would cause them to receive. Lord, I pray for those who tend to internalize and silently pray, that they would learn to verbalize and express out loud everything that they're asking for. And I pray for those that have not yet put themselves into action by seeking, that they would take those steps. And for those that are seeking, that they would continue to seek, that they would feel commended for having been persistent so far, and that they would keep being persistent. And Lord, I pray for continued breakthroughs. And that's why we ask all of these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please stand? You don't have to be by yourself. You can find someone to stand with. If you're all alone, find someone else who's not and stand with them. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.